You're listening to Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Today, former soldiers are taking over the Bunny Slope at Vail. They've all had devastating war injuries, and as part of their rehabilitation, they're learning to ski.
Well, we've been doing this program since 2004, and this is the most double leg amputees that we have ever had.
This is Cheryl Jensen, founder of the Vail Veterans Program.
Which just shows you the severity of, one, their injuries, but also what's happening on the ground in Afghanistan, because most of these guys are injured in Afghanistan.
This week's group of about 20 veterans has eight men who've lost both legs. Colorado Public Radio's Zachary Barr has this story of one of the skiers.
In November, Marine Mark Latinsky was in Afghanistan. One moment, his body was sound. Then he stepped on an explosive.
Both legs were severed at about halfway up the shin. And then because of infection and whatnot, they ended up where they are now.
Where they are now is mostly gone. Both legs amputated above the knee. He also lost the lower half of his left arm. Latinsky's rehabbing at Walter Reed Army Medical Center in Washington, D.C. He's been there every single day since getting back. He hasn't even returned home to Minnesota. Coming to Vail is his first trip outside the hospital.
All right, man. Step one.
All right.
You're standing up on your own.
Jeff Nechtel is Latinsky's private ski instructor. Nechtel is in a wheelchair, too, so he uses the same kind of rig Latinsky is going to learn on.
Can you push forward towards me a little bit so we're not on the hill?
The men sit in snug bucket seats, which ride a couple feet above the snow. Below the seat is a shock absorber and an aluminum frame, and below that is a single ski.
Step one conquered. Definitely. You tired yet?
I haven't done anything yet.
Why don't we take 5 minutes?
The men lean on special ski poles to rest. They're called outriggers. These poles have short skis on the ends to help with turning. Right now, they're being used like crutches. So one little slip up and you're going to crash.
Whoops. First fall of the day.
Getting started early.
Latinsky's helped up. A few minutes later, he's at the top of the beginner hill. His instructor gives him some last-minute advice.
When you're looking down, you're going to fall down. So your eyes are always going to be up. The bottom of the hill is your future.
The same thing in therapy. The therapists always tell the guys, we have a tendency to look down because we're concentrating on, you know, picking up one foot and putting the other down. And they always say, keep your head up.
Latinsky glides down the hill. He stays upright the whole time and makes it to the bottom.
All right, how you feeling, brother?
Good, except my arm's sweaty, and when my arm gets sweaty, it kind of just wiggles around in the socket.
And that means Latinsky can't make his arm do what he wants it to do. At the bottom of the hill, his wife's watching all of this. They're newlyweds. This morning, Heather anticipated this problem with Mark's arm, so she put a lot of deodorant on it. It hasn't worked.
If his socket was hanging on, he would be scouring these hills right now.
She hopes this trip will help her husband feel better about his future.
And help him transition and realize that he's still going to be able to do a lot of things. A little differently, but he's still going to be able to do a lot of things. So.
But for today, Mark Latinsky is focused on learning to ski. And he's sticking with it. He maneuvers his new body into position to ride up to the top of the hill again. Then he says,
I wish I had my arm still. That'd be nice right now.
Immediately, his ski instructor tells him, why wish for things you can't have? Zachary Barr, Colorado Public Radio News.
Well, many others have gone through the Vail Veterans Program, and a few have become really good skiers. Retired Marine Sergeant Chris Vesmeyer is one of them. He's in Vail this week helping out the new guys. Vesmeyer's also a vet who lost both his legs. And he told me what it feels like to zoom down the hill on his monoski.
You know, skiing has taken on a special appreciation for me since I've been in the chair because it, you know, it frees me. I live completely in the now where I don't have to worry about the problems of everyday life.
What do you remember about the first time you went skiing after your accident?
Bewilderment, mostly. Being wounded like this changes your life a lot, and I didn't know what to expect. And to be shown this lifestyle up here in the mountains and skiing, it really gave me something positive to focus on.
Did you ski much before that?
I've been skiing and snowboarding since I was 12, and I'm 32 now.
And so before the offer to ski with this group, did you think skiing would be a possibility?
I really had no idea what the possibilities would be. I was wounded in October, and literally 6-7 weeks later, Cheryl Jensen from the Vail Veterans Program comes in and asked me if I wanted to go skiing. So I was like, sure, yeah.
And how quickly were you actually skiing after that?
I was wounded in October, and I was skiing in March.
Wow.
This exact camp 6 years ago.
So this is October of 2004, correct?
Yes.
And you lost both your legs. What happened?
I was on a short-range security patrol in western Iraq near the Syrian border when the patrol I was in ran into a minefield, and the Humvee I was in hit some mines.
And you're in the Humvee driving, or...?
I was in the front passenger seat, and the mines went off under the front passenger tire about 2 feet from my feet.
And these mines are so powerful that they just blow right through the bottom of the truck, huh?
It took out the whole quarter of the Humvee.
Were you conscious afterwards?
I lost consciousness for a second, and then I woke up, and I realized something was wrong right away. I tried to get out of the vehicle, and I just fell on my back. My legs stood straight up for a second. Then they fell the opposite ways and hit my feet, hit my hips. That's when I knew something was wrong.
And you were rushed to a hospital, I gather?
I was airlifted to the the MASH unit within 12 minutes. And from there, I was taken to Balad Air Base in Iraq for I don't know how long. And from there to Landstuhl, Germany. From Germany to Bethesda, Maryland, and after about 2 weeks of stabilization, I finally wound up at Walter Reed Army Medical Center.
And how long were you there?
Altogether, I was in the hospital for a year.
And what was that time like?
It was very frustrating. Being one of the first generations of wounded vets, the system wasn't very streamlined, and my unit lost my medical records, so they couldn't start the administrative process to get me out of the hospital.
It was kind of a physical fight and like a bureaucratic fight at the same time.
It was a physical fight, a bureaucratic fight, an emotional fight, you know, a mental fight, and it still is.
How so?
Well, things don't get any easier. By its very nature, post-traumatic stress can hit, you know, months or years after the trauma. And this past year and a half, I started just clicking off the symptoms one by one until I finally had a little explosion in the early summer and wound up in the hospital for a couple weeks.
What happened?
I blacked out for 4 or 5 days and not too sure what happened. Woke up in jail, and from there I went to Denver VA Medical Center.
Were you using, self-medicating?
No, there was something that triggered the episode, and like I said, for the last year and a half, things have just been building up. It was a culmination of everything that's happened to me in the last 6 years.
And strange things set it off, right? I mean, I've talked to vets who say, you know, just a piece of debris on the side of the road, on the side of the highway can set things off.
Yeah, it's different for everybody.
Well, what is
it? The smallest thing can do it.
Yeah, what has it been for you?
For me, it was receiving a package of my father's effects. My father died when I was 9 years old right in front of me. And I never really, you know, processed his death. So receiving those objects combined with, you know, the year and a half of sliding downhill, just, I lost it.
Well, you moved to Buena Vista after the accident.
Correct.
Yeah, why?
When I was in the hospital, I knew that they had just passed the Wounded Warrior Bill legislation, which allowed seriously injured service members to receive a portion of their life insurance. So I wanted to be set up with, you know, land and a home and that sort of thing. And I did my research on the internet, you know, looking for land throughout the Rocky Mountain West, and that looked like one of the best areas as far as, you know, price-wise and recreational opportunities. I came out to see it and fell in love right away.
And bought some land?
Bought a couple acres up on Trout Creek Pass, 12 miles southeast of Buena Vista.
And tell me about the house. Did it come with the house?
I bought the land and a nonprofit, Homes for Our Troops, who builds homes for severely injured service members, built the house for me.
With all of the I guess, adaptations that you would need, huh?
Correct. It's completely adapted to my needs.
Are you able to work, Chris?
I'm able to, but I'm retired. I enjoy the ski bum life.
Yeah. And I guess getting the payment of the life insurance has enabled that?
That and not having a mortgage or rent really helps. So the disability compensation I receive from the VA takes care of the day-to-day expenses.
So what does it mean to be a ski bum for you?
It depends, you know. I mean, if the snow is good, I could be at the hill 5 or 6 days a week. And like I mentioned earlier, it gives me the freedom that I don't get anywhere else these days.
You feel a real difference between being on the slope and an hour later being in a restaurant or, you know, being in town or something?
I try not to go to restaurants or towns. Crowds kind of make me anxious these days.
Where do you ski most often? I mean, like Monarch's not too far from you, I know.
No, yeah, I ski Monarch very often. That's my home mountain. But I do occasionally volunteer with the Breckenridge Outdoor Education Center in Breckenridge.
And that program is with what kind of skiers?
Mono skiers. I call myself the instructor's dummy. I provide the model for the students.
What do you like about teaching others to ski? Other people who've gone through, you know, real similar things to what you've gone through.
I'm very grateful to all these nonprofits for, you know, showing me all these different lifestyles and giving me the opportunity to get out and try all these things. So I like to give back a little bit.
And what kinds of things do you help with emotionally? There's like the practical skiing part, but I imagine there's the emotional aspect too.
Well, when I was in the hospital and newly injured, I was one of the first generations of seriously injured vets. And there was nobody who had been through the process and had been out in life that I could, you know, look to and even see that there was an end in sight. So maybe by just being here, I can show them that life can return to some sort of normality.
Yeah, and that's huge, isn't it? Because I have to think that if you lose your legs, the sense of how do I go on, what does life even look like for me, that's really difficult.
You know, that never really occurred to me. Being a Marine, I was always taught to, you know, improvise, adapt, and overcome. So I just transferred that into this new life.
Well, thanks so much for talking with us. And
no problem.
Get back to the slopes, will you?
Will do. Thank you.
That's retired Marine Sergeant Chris Fesmeyer, and he volunteers with the Vail Veterans Program. He's a self-professed ski bum who lives near Buena Vista.